Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, at this time, we're going to have missionary Go Oishi come and open up the Word of God, and we're so thankful for the opportunity. And one of the things that I enjoy about the younger preachers is that we get to grow with him. That as he's in Japan and learning and having a fresh, brand new ministry with, Lord willing, many years up on the field, that we get to invest on it in the ground floor, and that we get to hear about the things that are happening, to see the people that come to know Christ, people that are discipled, churches that are planted, pastors that are installed. And we're looking forward to those opportunities. Let me give you another quick little note that we have a video podcast called Questions, Comments, Answers, and Suggestions Answered from the Word of God. And we recorded already an interview between me and missionary Go Oishi, and it would be something that I think would be a great blessing and encouragement to you. The interview went very well, and it's something that we can not only hear, but apply to our own lives with some of the things that he mentioned, and I think it would be a great encouragement. That's dropping tomorrow. You can either go to the Facebook or YouTube sites for those things, and I believe it will be a great blessing and encouragement. But if you wouldn't mind, take the Word of God and be a blessing to us. Absolutely. Once again.
Thank you so very much, Pastor. Amen. Thank you so very much. Well, praise the Lord. My wife and I have been so thankful by your generosity, by your kindness, by your fellowship. We've really enjoyed getting to know you and getting to spend a lot of time with you all throughout today. And just thank you so very much for being such a missions-hearted, missions-minded people. We feel just so overwhelmed by your kindness. And I wanted to let you know that you're appreciated, and we appreciate you greatly. If you'll go ahead and turn over to the book of 1 Timothy, in chapter 1, that's what we'll be reading tonight. And as you're turning there, I do want to also express much gratitude for something that I am always most thankful of when I come into a church like this. It is, of course, one thing for a younger preacher to come behind a pulpit of a church like this and to tell about how much he loves the Lord, tell about the visions that he has placed on his heart, tell about how much he's excited about the ministry, and tell all about those things. But it's another thing when you've been living it for decades, and when you've been following the Lord, and you've been reading God's Word, and you've been daily praying and reading God's Word and growing, and just staying faithful to God for many more years than I've been saved. And many of you have a testimony like that. I've gotten to hear a lot of your salvation testimonies, a lot of your testimonies of walking with the Lord and how God's allowed you to grow. And let me just say thank you so very much for your faithfulness that has lasted for many, many years. That is probably the greatest encouragement that you can give to my generation and the generation to come. You being faithful and staying faithful to the Lord gives witness to a God that protects, gives witness to a God that sustains. And quite honestly, it is people like you that allow my wife and I to have confidence that it's the same God that kept you joyful, the same God that kept you singing, the same God that kept you on the victory side through the many trials and temptations that my wife and I have yet to face in our youth. That's the same God that's going to carry us in Japan. And I thank you so, so very much for the example of faithfulness and the example of following God through many trials that we have yet to face. Thank you so very much for showing us that and bearing witness and giving witness to a God that sustains and the God that is faithful, that will help us be faithful for the years to come. In the Sunday school hour, we talked about Paul's testimony given in the book of 2 Corinthians about his conduct, about why he did what he did, why he chose to live the life that he lived. And this evening, I want to flip the tables just a little bit and talk about why Paul believed God gave him the grace and God showed him much grace in his life. This morning, we talked about why Paul's personal testimony of why he chose to live the way that he did. And I think here I believe that we see a testimony of Paul himself giving a testimony of why he believes that God went out of his way so many times in the life of Paul to show him mercy, to show him grace, to allow him to serve God. Before we do that, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to start reading God's word right after that. Heavenly Father, what an amazing God you are, and what an amazing day it has been. God, I thank you so very much for this great church that has been so generous to us, so kind to us, and have been just such an amazing example of you sustaining them and your grace just showing in their lives. A group of Christians that have chosen not to quit, a group of Christians that want to grow and take their walk with you to the next level. And God, it's been not just a encouraging and a refreshing experience, but it's been a convicting and a challenging experience to my wife and I, getting to be with a people that love your word and that sincerely love you and that sincerely believes in you and believes in the great commission that you have called us to fulfill. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done already. And now, Lord, I pray that as we come to your word once again, help us to remove all distractions in our minds and help us to give your word just the undivided attention that you deserve. And God, I pray that you'll change us and convict us and speak to us. And I pray that we'll leave here closer to you and better equipped to give you all the honor and glory that you deserve. In Jesus Christ, our friend, our Redeemer, our Savior, your name we pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'd like to start reading from verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Before he says this, in some of the previous chapters, Paul is commending Timothy to teach no other doctrine than the one that he has learned of, than the pure gospel, than the free gospel that both Timothy and Paul had suffered for. To keep on going with that and to take that message and to keep on preaching that without changing, without wavering, without compromising. And it's at that point that Paul shifts his focus just a little bit and starts talking about his own, going back to his own personal testimony. Thanking Christ Jesus the Lord for that enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I believe the reason why he does that is showing Timothy how powerful the gospel is. What the gospel did to the life of Paul. What the message of God did to the life of Paul and how powerful it was and how it transformed him. And I believe that Paul is using this to remind Timothy what an amazing message that he has and that there is so much at stake that he cannot change, that he cannot bear to waver when this is such an amazing thing. Verse 13, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Verse 16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy." Here Paul is saying, God saved me, God brought me out of all these things, God transformed me out of all this kind of lifestyle, and I believe that I obtained mercy for this reason. You know, oftentimes when I look back to my testimony, look back to what God did in my life, how God went out of his way to send me a faithful witness that would preach to me Jesus Christ over and over again as I rejected him numerous times before I finally made the decision to trust Jesus as my Savior. I think to myself, why in the world did God do that for me? And sometimes I think to myself when, you know, thinking back to my life, my karate master inviting my whole entire family to go to church, and not just any church, but a local independent fundamental Baptist church, sound in doctrine, that encouraged me and that helped me, a newborn Christian, grow in the ways of the Lord and learn how to witness to others, learn how to fall in love with Scripture, learn how to pray. God did not have to do that for me. God was not obligated to show me that kind of kindness. He was not obligated. He's the God of all the earth. He deserves everything from us. But he has no obligation to us. And yet God showed me that kind of mercy. And sometimes I have asked God, why did you do that for me? Why? I mean, after rejecting you multiple times, why did you move in that young man's heart to continue witnessing to me? And Peter Paul is giving his personal reason. This morning we talked about Paul's reason for the way that he lived. Now I believe we see Paul's reasoning for It is on now. Perfect. All righty. Thank you very much for that, Brother Graves. You know, I appreciate, before debutation, I did not understand how much I appreciated the sound person or the PA person. Every time something goes wrong, that's when they get recognized. And yet, when everything's going okay in the service, nobody recognizes them. It takes a real servant of God. Praise the Lord. And I'm very thankful for how you have conducted yourself and how you've been used of the Lord to keep the service running smoothly. Thank you for that. One of the things that I'm greatly thankful for to God is the fact that he has a track record of shedding hope on where hope cannot be found. Have you noticed that? All throughout reading scripture, you look at a situation, you look at a circumstance where it seems that all hope is lost. And yet God sheds hope on a seemingly hopeless situation where mankind have completely failed and completely messed up. God sheds hope in that situation, and he does that time and time again. Look at the life of Paul. That he presents himself a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. When we think of Paul, obviously most of us know his testimony. Most of us know the kind of life that he lived before he came to know the Lord. We know that Paul persecuted Christians. He killed Christians. And no doubt, in those days, he would be one of those guys where somebody would look at him and say, man, there is no way. I mean, that's the last person that anybody thought would turn around for Jesus Christ. That's the last person that anybody thought would be a preacher. That's the last person that anybody believed would make any impact, any good impact for Jesus Christ. And yet God did it. For all intents and purposes, many people probably would have looked at Saul as somebody who was utterly hopeless. Somebody who would never accept Jesus Christ as a Savior, never humble himself, and never make any good impact for Christ, surely never lead anybody to Christ, never plant a church. I'm sure that Saul, during his persecuting days, nobody would be able to imagine him leading a congregation or discipling a man like Timothy or doing any good for God, and yet God did it. In an absolutely hopeless situation, hopeless circumstance, a hopeless man, God shed hope in that life. And I am glad and I am thankful that God has an amazing track record of shedding hope where no hope can be found. And this is found many times throughout scripture. I am reminded of even the garden of the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned before God, and yet right away he gives a plan for reconciliation. Isn't that amazing? God sheds hope even in a circumstance where no hope seemingly it can be found. I also think back to the life of Joseph, how God kept on giving him visions of being able to serve his family, serve his brothers, being able to save his family. And yet he is taken and yet he is betrayed by his brothers and he is sold into slavery. And every time he seems to be able to climb back up and life seems to be going good for him, that's when he is usually cast down. And we look at his life and we are tempted to think, what a hopeless situation. All these dreams that were supposed to be accomplished, all these great things that God was supposed to do in Joseph's life. And when we see him in jail, when we see him suffering in loneliness, we are tempted to think, what a hopeless situation. And yet we know the end of the story. God gave hope in his time, in his divine way, in his miraculous way that man cannot do. God shed hope in that utterly hopeless situation. Turn over with me to the book of Isaiah in chapter 1. We all know that the children of Israel were also in a very hopeless situation, a very hopeless state. After rejecting God and after rejecting God's invitation for reconciliation over and over and over again, the children of Israel had to be punished. They had to be judged. And when we look at the rubble that was left behind and the results of all of that, we are often tempted to think, what a miserable state. What a miserable time. What a hopeless state that Israel has been left in. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Will ye revolt more and more? The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of your foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. It is desolate and overthrown by strangers. That looks like a hopeless situation, does it not? It looks like something that cannot be healed, could never be restored to its former glory. A nation that could never be reconciled unto God. A place where God can do nothing with. A place to be forgotten. A place to be forsaken. And by the way, when we look at a situation without recognizing the hope that God sheds, it is tempting to look at a situation as hopeless. Think of America. Your pastor has prayed that we would pray for a revival amongst Christians. Christians to start acting like Christians, and yet when we keep our eyes on the news and the world around us and multitudes of saved people that have completely gone astray, that whole record that we read this morning in 2 Timothy of people that know the Lord and yet have completely forsaken his ways, it is so easy to look at that situation and think, I'm not sure if God can do this. It is sometimes tempting to look at that hopeless situation and think, how in the world can this be changed? How in the world can this rubble, this hopeless situation, this hopeless nation, how in the world can it be restored to its former glory? How in the world can revival happen when these people have strayed so far from God? But I believe that the theme that has been brought up over and over again today is that we praise the Lord that it is not on us. Amen. God gives the hope where no hope is found. And we see that in this very same chapter that we read about Israel's rubble. Skip over to verse 14 in the same chapter, Isaiah chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 14, your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So many times, we realize at the end of the story that God was doing it for the sake of reconciliation in the first place. When everything utterly seems hopeless, and when it seems that all hope has been taken away, many a times all the way throughout Scripture, we see that God did that so that his people can turn back to him, that God was behind it from the first place so that revival can take place. Oftentimes we see the building blocks of revival, the building blocks of God trying to do something great, and we often misinterpret it as valleys. We often misinterpret it as hopeless situation that God is not in. And yet so oftentimes God uses circumstances like that to turn us back to him, to allow us to learn him and get to know him once again. Oftentimes I have questioned, obviously before the quarantine, many churches were building up their momentum in their ministry. Visitors were coming. People were being discipled, soul winners were being trained, new areas were being knocked, and many churches all across the United States were building momentum in their ministry. They were starting to see their ministries grow. They were just starting to see great things happen, and then all of a sudden, they were not able to meet. And of course, we as children of God and we as people that know God and worship God, we know God well enough that he has a plan. And we know God well enough that he is good and that he is mighty and that he is perfect in all the things that he does. But if you're anything like me, sometimes what I struggle with is why. Sometimes what I struggle with is what is the purpose behind this? I know that he is good and I know that he has a purpose. And I know that he has a plan. But in my carnal mind and in my finite mind, sometimes I have wondered during these days, why? Our deputation was going so well and so many others as well. And the momentum was building and we were so close to leaving for the field. And then all of a sudden, many of our meetings just became something that it wasn't. It became either a live stream or it became when I was supposed to fellowship with many people in the church and get to fall in love with people and get to know people. A lot of the times it was an empty auditorium, and I thought to myself sometimes, why? The mission trip, the 2020 Japan Olympic outreach. God has done many miracles, by the way, going into that. Oh, in fact, when we were still first starting to build it, we didn't think that it was going to be possible. We didn't think that it was possible to build a mission strip while we were on deputation. And with the cost and with the skyrocketing prices of the 2020 Olympics, we didn't think it was possible to be able to give people an affordable price to get to win the people of Japan and win all the people that will be represented there during the Olympic times. We didn't think it was possible. And yet within weeks of us planning this trip, God gave us 43,000 copies of What Must I Do to Be Saved by John R. Rice, already translated to Japanese, that was donated to us. That happened within a week of announcing this trip. 10,000 gospel tracts was donated by Wings Bearing Precious Seeds with the Olympics logo on it that was written in multiple languages that we were supposed to distribute. And God gave us the perfect price for all the airline tickets. God gave us the perfect price for all the lodging. And God gave us even Olympic tickets themselves for some of the people to enjoy while we were on the mission trip. And everything seemed to be falling in place. And then the Olympics gets moved to 2021. And then the travel ban goes into place. And now all of a sudden I had to unravel a six-figure budget and figure out how to work out refunds and how to rearrange this trip. And of course, I know that God is good, and I know that God has a plan, and I know that God is perfect, and I know that it's in His time and it's in His will. But I have wondered oftentimes, why? Why? Seemingly such a hopeless situation. What is God trying to do through all of this? Why is God bringing this into my life? Why is God having us go through all these things? And yet, looking back at the last two months of unraveling a six-figure budget, the last 2 months of having to bear just a little bit of that disappointment of a mission trip getting postponed by a whole year, a whole month of not getting to be on the road as we used to be, a whole month of not getting to do meetings and do things, my Bible reading time has increased. Amen. God's given me more time to pray. And I've gotten to know Him more. And by the way, didn't Jesus Christ Himself say that that was the more blessed part when speaking to Mary and Martha? Amen. As Martha was toiling and doing everything that she could to serve Jesus Christ, Mary sitting by the foot of Jesus Christ and learning Him and spending time with Him, didn't Jesus Himself say that she chose the more blessed part? Of course, I love soul winning, and I love ministry, and I love doing things for the Lord. But I believe that if this COVID-19 quarantine have done anything for Christians, it's given us more time to spend with our God. Amen. It's given us more time to be more well-equipped, to be closer to Him, to get to know Him before we make Him known. And I believe that Paul was coming to a realization back in 1 Timothy that the reason why God was so merciful to him, and the reason why that God has allowed him to grow and to be the preacher that he became all throughout the book of Acts is so that to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting, so that others, many others, seeing what God did to Paul, many other people seeing how God did some miracle in a hopeless man's life, that's the same God that could give all these people salvation. That's the same God that can end up using all these different spectators as they watched Paul's life completely turned around. And by the way, after we read many accounts of Jesus Christ being prophesied in the Old Testament, we come to the point where Jesus Christ indeed arrives in the scene. Turn over with me to the book of John in chapter 1. John chapter 1 is for many people, this is when hope becomes reality, when hope becomes sight, and when hope arrives on the scene. In John chapter 1 and verse 26, many prophecies have been given in the Old Testament of a coming Messiah, but yet between the time that the prophecies were given and the time that Jesus Christ arrives, there were many hundreds of years of silence. And sure enough, and surely many people at this point have forgotten about some of the prophecies, have become hopeless once again, and yet that is exactly when God sheds hope. John chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist is presenting to everybody there this hope that we've been waiting for, this hope that's going to shed light in the dark ages that we're in. He's here, and hope has arrived. And then we skip down over to, to verse 35. Verse 35 in John chapter 1, again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Amen. Verse 38, And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto him, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. We see some amazing things happen in these verses that I just read. Jesus Christ comes through, hope passes through, and people start following him. And again, I go back to that question that I kept asking myself towards the beginning of the message. Why did God do that for them? And sometimes when I look at God's amazing mercy, I sometimes ask him, what do you have to profit in that? Again, like I mentioned, we saw many examples in the Bible of God having a track record of shedding hope where hope cannot be found, shedding hope where all hope seems to be lost. And sometimes, many a times, I have wondered while reading scripture, what in the world did God have to gain by shedding hope in a hopeless situation like that? And I look at my own testimony once again, saving a man. Like I said, in the morning I shared my testimony. I was a young man going through public school trying to turn all Christians away from God, trying to argue them out of their faith. That's the kind of guy I used to be. I rejected Christ multiple times before I accepted him by faith. I was a hopeless, hopeless teenager, suicidal, depressed. And now I look back at my life and think to myself, God, I am so grateful for my salvation. I am so grateful that you gave me a man, that gave me a gospel witness over and over again. But God, why did you do that for me? What did you have to gain from that? And I believe that we see this answer exemplified in this next verse. Andrew starts following Jesus Christ in verse 40. And look at what happens in verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith to him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. You see what just happened? What just happened was Andrew got to spend some time with Jesus Christ. Andrew got to see hope with his own eyes and see what he can do and what kind of an amazing man he was. And that's the Son of Man, the Son of God has come down to save all mankind. Andrew got to spend time with Jesus Christ. And now that he got to spend time with Jesus Christ, now that Andrew got to know what Jesus was all about, he goes to Peter, somebody who has not found that hope yet, somebody who has not been introduced to that hope yet, somebody that has yet to taste that hope, and says, Peter, we no longer have to live empty and vain lives fishing anymore. The days of wandering and the days of hopelessness and the days of darkness are over because hope has arrived. I got to spend time with Jesus Christ, and Peter, you're coming with me. We're going to follow Jesus Christ together. As we apply this to our lives, and as I apply this to my own question, could it be that God showed us such abundant mercy? Could it be that God has allowed us to conquer victories in our life to them which should hereafter believe? To them which should hereafter find that hope that we have found? To them which should hereafter see our lives and come in contact with our lives, that God wants to save, that God wants them to accept the gift of salvation, and that God wants to use us in our testimonies and what God has carried us through to point them to him, just like he did with Andrew? Turn back with me to where we started in 1 Timothy. Very quickly, I want to go over. Three actions that I believe that we Christians ought to take to them which should hereafter believe, knowing that God had something to gain from our salvation, that God wants to use our testimonies, that God wants to use us. And by the way, as Christians, as those who have been saved, it is very clear that God has a purpose for us on this side of eternity. Otherwise, he would have taken us up to heaven. Amen. He has a purpose for us. He has a reason for us to be here. Us saved people, redeemed people. God has a plan for us on this side of eternity. And knowing that God wants to use our lives to be a witness unto others, that God wants to use the hope that God shed in our hopeless lives, the salvation that we freely was able to accept when our lives were hopeless, when our eternity was at stake, when we were headed for hell, and the testimony that God has allowed us to live and the victories that God has allowed us to win, knowing that God wants to use us and use that to them which should hereafter believe, I believe that there are some things that we have to keep in mind. 1 Timothy chapter 1, where we first read, let's reread verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord for that enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorant and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. Notice how Paul, every time he talks about his past life, every time he talks about how he used to be in hopelessness, almost always, in fact, I want to say always, follows it with how much greater God's grace was, how much greater God's gift was, how much greater God's power was over Saul's sin. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul did not spend all the rest of his saved life sorrowing over the regrets that he had of his former life, and instead focused on the grace that God has given him, wanting to point as many people to Christ as he could, using the testimony that God has given him. And so we as Christians, applying it to own lives, us, to them which should hereafter believe, first of all, must keep our spirit hopeful. Keep our spirit hopeful. Knowing that we serve a God that has a track record and still does shed hope in a place where all hope is lost, the last thing that the world needs is a defeated Christian. Amen. And by the way, how do you think, and of course, Pastor and I, we made it clear that that whole list of people, that backslid of a darkening world was referring to Christians that were not acting like Christians. How do you think they got there? Somewhere they got discouraged. Somewhere they stopped fighting the war. Somewhere they bought into the philosophy that their sin was somehow okay. And they stopped fighting. And they stopped growing, and they started turning back to their former ways, the tragedy of saved people acting like the lost. But us, we must keep our spirit hopeful. And we must remind ourselves that no matter what trials we're facing, no matter what tribulations we're going through, no matter how hopeless the situation seems, that God is the God of hope, that the God is the God of impossible. And the same God that turned the life of Paul, the same God that split the Red Seas wide open, the same God that breathed the universe into existence is the same God that we get to serve today. Yes. And we must believe that, and we must mean that, and we must live that with all our lives, keeping our spirit hopeful. Us Christians ought to bear witness to a faithful and miracle-working God. The world ought to be able to see us and see us Christians and see somebody who truly believes in the God of miracles, who truly hopes in God, and whose hope shows in everything that they do, and that hope resonates in their spirit as they walk in their day-to-day lives. By the way, where else is this world going to find hope? Amen. This world that is turning to alcohol, this world that is turning to immorality. This is prime time to lead people to the Lord. This is prime time to let the world see when everybody else is fearful, when everybody else is falling to other things. Let the world see a Christian who is being sustained by an almighty God. Amen. Let's keep our spirit hopeful. And second of all, to them which should hereafter believe, we obviously have to keep are soul-winning hot. Keep your soul-winning hot. Reading on in verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe unto on him to life everlasting. As those who have found hope, and in realization that many around us have not yet found that hope, that many around us have yet to taste salvation, have yet to taste grace, have yet to taste the victory that we get to enjoy in our lives, we ought to keep our soul winning hot. We ought to keep our witnessing hot. We ought to keep tracts in our pockets. We ought to always be ready to give a gospel witness to those that God allows us to come in contact with. By the way, where would we be if it wasn't for a faithful witness? Think back to the person that led you to Christ. What if that person gave up in their walk with God? What if that person didn't believe that your soul was important enough to witness to before they witnessed to you? What if that parent that raised you in a Christian home, that parent that tried so hard to keep salvation right before you, what if that parent quits and got discouraged and stopped raising their home godly, swallowed up by the world? By the way, what a selfish thing it would be when God has given us so much mercy, so much grace in our lives to let the next generation down, to drop the ball on the next generation, to drop the ball on those that will come in contact with us. We are here because God moved in somebody's heart and somebody was obedient to the gospel. Amen. Somebody was obedient to carry the gospel message to us. We cannot allow the gospel to stop with us. Amen. We cannot let that happen. And the world cannot afford another discouraged, downhearted, defeated Christian. God, the world cannot afford a Christian whose spirit is not hopeful, a Christian whose soul winning is not hot. No, to them which should hereafter believe, we ought to keep our spirit hopeful, we ought to keep our soul winning hot, and finally, we ought to keep our Savior honored. Keep your Savior honored. Look at the verse that Paul closes his testimony in. Verse 17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul, at the very end of his testimony, gives all glory to God for what was done in his life, for what was done through his life. Every single thing that we do gives witness to something, whether it be a finger pointing to us, a finger pointing to a pleasure, or a finger pointing to God. Every single thing that we do, us as Christians, and especially to those that know that we're Christians, every single thing that we do is either going to drive somebody further away from God or drive somebody closer to God. Amen. There are eyes watching us now more than ever before as we face this thing called COVID-19. As we face another trial in this world, the world is looking at us, seeing if our faith is real. Children are looking at us, seeing if this world, if this God, if this gospel, if this word is really something worth living for. The world is looking at us, seeing if our hope is real or not. So at such a time as this, let's realize God did so many of the things that he did for us to them which should hereafter believe. And thus, let's keep our spirit hopeful, our soul winning hot, and our Savior honored. Pastor?
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. 6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.